Hey, everybody, Josh here. March of the Pigs, back after a long hiatus. It's been about a month, I think, since the last episode I put up. Maybe 2 months now. I'm not sure. But I wanted to do this episode real quick to get it out tonight. And my guest this week is Netta Gaby, my girlfriend and life partner and housemate and roommate and co-poop maker. It's been a long time since we've done a March of the Pigs podcast, and for good reason. I finally set up a studio in my home office, just a little setup so that I can do these more frequently, get them out, have people over my place. You know, it's been great doing things at Adam's place as well, but with the amount of volume that they have over at the Unpop studio, the scheduling gets to be a little tough. I mean, they're killing it over there. They've got like 56,000 shows all week long, and you guys are definitely getting your patron money out of that if you're subscribing to it, which I think you should. There's a lot of good quality shows over there. Check them out, and you're always going to get some cool information wiggled into all the podcasts that Adam and the crew do over on the Unpops network. So, but I'll still be over there from time to time. And obviously we have the Darkest Hour podcast over there that I host with Adam. And also we have Charles Disney on sometimes as well. But now with this little setup here I have in my home office, I'm able to have people over and we can do these a little bit more regularly, a little faster and at better quality. I know one of the issues we've had from the very beginning with March of the Pigs has been we've had inconsistent audio quality, which I know in some cases makes episodes unlistenable. Other cases, some of you guys just don't even care. I care, and I've always wanted it to sound good and sound high quality. And I think we're finally in a place where we have an affordable setup that does also accomplish having something that is of high quality. So with that in mind, we recap on this episode going to Musso and Frank in Hollywood celebrating a belated birthday dinner. And then we also caught the movie The Big Sick, which I had already seen, but Netta hadn't seen. And we share a little bit of that with you and our thoughts on that movie. Spoiler alert, we both really liked it. But enjoy, because this might be the first March of the Pigs in a while, and maybe the last one for a while, because Burbank is on fire.
Step right up, march, push, crawl right up on your knees, please.
All right, are you ready to go? This is it. This is the new March of the Pigs studio in our is this our dining room?
Dining room slash kitchen, because yeah. We don't have a dining room.
We don't have a dining room table.
Hence, we don't have a dining room.
Right. Because
the table is what makes the dining room.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's where you dine.
So if you eat in here, it's a dining room.
I guess, but I feel like the table is what makes up the dining room table.
Okay.
I mean, dining room, sorry.
So if we don't have a dining room table, this is just another room in the house.
Yep.
This is a, yeah. It's an office.
It's an office. We've made it an office.
It's a dining office. Everything in the house is a dining something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, there's a dining bathroom. There's a dining. Have you ever eaten in our bathroom? in 5 years? Have you eaten something in our bathroom? I've eaten something and walked into the bathroom and I was like, oh, I'm eating pizza and I got to pee. And then I would just.
Oh, yeah. I never started eating in the bathroom.
You didn't just
I didn't bring the pizza in the bathroom and then start eating. But sure, I've had food in my mouth.
You didn't.
I'm getting ready.
You didn't put it in the Postmates delivery thing to be like, bring it into the bathroom.
Absolutely not. You do not want to go in there when I'm in there.
Although we have joked in the past that we're like, I wonder if we put in the Postmates delivery instructions like, hey, the door is open. Just bring it in through the hallway into the bedroom and onto the bed. Like we wanted to do that the first time we were going to order Taco Bell breakfast. Remember when that happened? And I was like,
oh, yeah,
I want to get it and I want to eat it in bed. But.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
But they're not. Yeah, we're not going to have a guy do that. So I went and got it and brought it back. And we ate it in
bed.
Setting
me up for a rape? Like, I don't. Seems too good to be true.
Yeah. Maybe if he comes in and sees you. If he comes in and sees me, I don't know if too good to be true is the first thing on his mind.
No, I mean, no. If he sees me, he'd be like, there's some sort of. It'd be like To Catch a Predator. Like,
all right.
This is too easy. I just showed up at this kid's house and. How come they never think that? They're never like, this was too easy.
Yeah.
I'm here and it's about to happen.
I don't know. Maybe
something's up.
Maybe it's always that easy. Maybe that's the scary thing is they're just like, yeah, normally kids' parents are out. There's cookies on the table.
Yeah.
And we just bust it loose, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it works. My mic is like super loud and yours is apparently not loud.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Although it sounds okay.
All right.
You talk.
Let's see. Well, as a kid, I always wondered.
Yeah, yours is way loud, like not as loud as mine.
Oh, okay. Well,
weird. Okay. I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, as a kid, I think people probably saw me and they were like, "Yeah, it's as a setup. She's really quiet." Very well behaved.
Loves candy.
Loves
a little
candy.
Too much.
I've seen her eat.
Yeah. So little too much. She likes candy a little too much.
She's good at keeping secrets. She looks too put together. Like I was like
put
really,
together.
Like really pretty and like my outfits were never dirty. Like I didn't go play on the playground or in the sandbox because I never wanted to get dirty.
Sure.
Like it looked like a setup. Like they're like, no kid is that clean. And loves to eat all the food and is like well behaved. So it's probably a setup.
We're just tweaking. Just tweaking settings. That's cool. So you never got raped. Good for you.
Yeah, I don't feel special. Everyone's been raped.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
I didn't realize as a kid, but then as I became an adult and the more and more I talk to people it's like every other person I talk to like
women
oh yeah
now.
I was
let's
raped
be,
I was
let's,
molested
let's be
and
honest.
I'm just like wow it's a lot of people like no wonder as a kid my mom was like terrified that I was gonna get raped I was like she's overreacting and being way too like overprotective but I get it like it's happening a lot
it's out there
I didn't know
yeah
I was like you're over exaggerating it's not that much she's like no it's a lot people are getting raped all the time.
It's funny because you would come home from work and you'd be like, it's almost like every time you would go out and socialize with people that you either worked with or that you know through entertainment or whatever, if soon as somebody would get emotional and start crying, you're like, this is rooted in a rape story and here it comes.
Yeah.
And every time you were dead right.
Yeah.
You were just like, oh, here comes the rape story. Yeah. And then it comes and they're just like, there was this dude.
Yeah.
I don't know how they go. I don't read those books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. What a great way to start this episode of March of the Pigs, everybody. Netta talking about where she's pooped in the apartment. Everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Except in her own pants, which that's got to...
I have never shit my pants.
You were...
And apparently, that's, like, normal, because I didn't
it's
know...
normal to shit your pants.
Yeah, I didn't
Very
know...
Very normal.
No, I didn't know that, because when I met you, and you said that, I was like, that's not normal, and you were like, yeah, people shit their pants. And
no.
I was like, no, it's not normal. Like, sometimes...
Everybody shits their pants.
I have never...
Everybody does. Everybody shits.
Everybody shits. Everybody.
Okay. Don't sing the Logic song. That's weird.
Everybody breathes. Everybody people.
It is. Yeah. It's. Yes, that's a song. Very good. You're very good. It's good you're feeling better. You got a little sick when we came home tonight.
No, I still feel really bad.
Well, but you're gaming it up.
I threw up, everybody. That. And you know I'm sick if I throw up because I don't like to waste food. So if I eat my food and I throw it up, you know, like, I'm sick.
But you also have this weak-ass bitch of a stomach.
You can't take a vitamin without getting sick. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have a sensitive stomach. Yeah, but I love eating food.
It's terrible.
A problem.
It's vicious.
Yeah.
I don't.
You would think I would be skinnier if I had such a sensitive stomach and I can't handle stuff. But no, my eyes are bigger. I have thought that. Yeah, no, but my eyes are bigger than my stomach. So it's like, oh, I see food and I'm like, I'm going to eat everything. But my stomach is like, we can't handle this. Like, it's too much. Yeah. So I threw up earlier.
I see. Yeah. That's not good.
Nope.
Ugh, it's not good.
Yeah. Also, it's like really, it was really hot today. I don't know if it was the heat.
Or the fire that's descending upon our city right now.
There's a fire just a couple miles away from us burning everything down.
Yeah, it's funny. My uncle this morning texted us and was like, hey, is that fire near you guys? I don't know why I just gave him a southern accent, but he was like, hey, is that fire near you guys? And I was like, no. And then I had to retext later tonight and be like, yeah. No, it's here now. It was like it's 8 spreading. Miles away, and now it's 3 spreading miles away. And I was like, I told you, I go, you don't have to worry about it. It can't jump a highway. And then I log into Twitter, and it goes, fire jumps highway. It's on its way. I was like, holy shit.
By the way.
So we just set this studio up, just so you guys know. It's going to burn down.
Right.
Immediately.
And he just bought a new TV, and I was like, you're going to grab the TV on your way out. Like, no, I just bought this.
I will. Yes, we have a new OLED TV, and I will carry that thing out on your... I'll strap it to your back and ride you out of here if I have to.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, but we had a pretty good... If this is our last day before everything burns down, we had a pretty good day, minus you getting sick.
Yeah. We went and ate at Musso and Frank's.
Yeah, Musso and Frank. Musso and Frank's, it sounds like you're talking about a hot dog place.
Well, again, I'm a fat person, and my brain thought Frank's.
No. I don't know what Musso is, but I do like Frank's. Let's go. It's Musso and Frank. It's almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
It'll be 100 years old in 2 years.
And I get why, because the food was amazing. Service was amazing.
You get why it's been open for 100 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. What did I say?
It was like it's 100 years old. And you're like, I get why. Like, you're about to tell us how it's haunted.
No, I meant I understand why it's been there for 100 years because the food was amazing. Service was great. Everything was wonderful. And I had never heard of this place. Obviously, it's on Hollywood Boulevard. I've drove past it, walked past it a million times. Never knew it was there. Never paid attention. And you Yelped it?
I mean, I've Yelped it a few times because we've always talked about like wanting to go to, you know, different steakhouses and stuff in Hollywood. And this was one that was on the list for a long time. And it's actually, I mean, we finally got to a point where I was just like, let's go to this one.
Yeah. And I really didn't know anything about it. And everyone was very nice. Food was amazing. I had the lobster and short rib ravioli, which had a sauce that I've never, like, the most unique sauce I've ever tried. Like, I can't even compare it to any other sauce I've ever had, which is...
Yeah, it's basically, it was like a roast beef gravy.
Yeah,
they call it a debris gravy in New Orleans.
Yeah, like a gravy, but, like, a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, like, this other, like, white sauce, like, a hint of it on top, and it kind of... was like a horseradish, maybe, I don't know. Like, I think it had that in there because my, like, sinuses kind of cleared up. But it was, like, a good thing. It wasn't, like, too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was, like, delicious. And you had a baked potato, lobster.
I like how you led with baked potato. Oh. People were like, oh, he had a potato.
No,
what
I was building. I was building it up. I'm doing baked potato,
okay,
lobster tail. And then, sorry, what kind of steak was it?
A ribeye steak. It was like a 10-ounce ribeye. It was pretty big.
Yeah, but it was delicious. It had an au jus on the side. We had butter, melted butter on the side. Is it called melted butter?
Drawn butter, I think.
Drawn butter for the lobster tail. which I proceeded to.
You've done. Pause. You pulled a fat kid move today that I've never seen anybody else do.
Yeah. No. Well, he. You use the butter.
I like how you say he, like the audience is here.
Yeah,
in the
no,
room with
I forgot for a second that you were in front of me. I don't know. But so you use the butter for the lobster, but there was also butter left over after we ate the lobster. I said we because you shared your food with me as you always do because you're nice. And I was like, I paused and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to let this melted, drawn butter go to waste. So can we use it for the potato? I asked you that. And you were like, absolutely. I was like, this is why you're my favorite.
Yeah. So you just proceeded to waterboard baked potato with drawn butter.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you're at home and you're just like, I've never done that, you should do it because.
Delicious. I poured it all over. It was sinking in butter and it was amazing.
Yeah.
You soaked. Yeah.
Because what happens with the loaded baked potato, and they really got to find a way to fix this.
Amazing.
What happens with the loaded baked potato that drives me nuts is you get your toppings all on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so not you eat bottom, all the toppings and you have half a potato left with nothing.
Yeah, just dry potato. And I was
nothing.
Like, yeah, so I poured it on it. I put a little bit of pepper and I was like, next time I order a baked potato, I'm just going to ask for drawn butter on the side.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Can
if
you
they
guys
stare
melt
at,
some butter?
Yeah. I don't care if they look at me like, ma'am, you didn't order any lobster tail or anything. Yeah. I realize that, but I want the drawn butter.
I can't wait to see you do that in a place that doesn't even have drawn butter because they don't serve seafood.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, just melt some butter for me.
Yeah, I'm just somewhere. I'm just like, can you get butter but like melt it?
Ma'am,
and then
this
bring
is
it
a
to the
Wendy's.
Table.
We don't do melted butter.
I know.
With our baked potatoes. You're just going to start melting your own butter in the microwave and just dunking your potatoes in it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But
it was good.
But
I recommend
worked.
It.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Great place, though. And cool. Yeah. And you could also tell it was 100 years old because it creaked like an old wooden ship.
It did.
When we walked through there and sat down.
But on the upside, all the tables are just booths.
Yeah.
Like there's just booths for two people, five people. They're just booths everywhere, which I prefer because I always want the booth side of.
Yeah, I get shafted. When we go to restaurants,
if there's
a side that's booth and a side that's chair, I know I'm stuck in chair or you'll be mad all night.
Yeah, I just don't like chairs. I mean, who does? I mean, it's like it. What would you rather sit on a cushion for your tailbone or not? So I'd rather sit in a booth. So we were happy because both of the sides were cushiony booth sides.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how cushiony they were.
They weren't that cushiony, but
I think it was probably reupholstered 30 years ago.
Sure. I mean. Yeah, but overall, the food was delicious, service was great, everyone was nice.
It was a good spot.
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
And we didn't even highlight the best part. It wasn't that expensive for as good as it was.
Yeah, it wasn't that expensive.
Like $40 for a 10-ounce ribeye. Mm-hmm. It might sound like a lot if you're comparing it to like Outback Steakhouse or something, but 40 ounces for a ribeye ain't shit. When you consider a 10-ounce ribeye at Outback is probably $30,
mm-hmm.
and at a bigger steakhouse in Hollywood like Mastro's or something, it's like 50, 60, could be as much as 70.
Yeah, and it was delicious, though.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was really good. And like classic flavors, too, not like, and it's weird to say, but like classic steak to me doesn't have a lot of rub. They don't use a lot of technology. Like they're not sous vide-ing these things and then finishing them off on a cast iron skillet like a lot of restaurants do now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like open flame grill. You get that kind of backyard smoky flavor to
it. Yeah, like it was really juicy, the steak, and the lobster was amazing.
I don't know how they made that lobster tail. They say it's broiled,
mm-hmm.
but I've never had one. That is just, it's like it had no tendon in it at all. You know, lobster always has like that tendon texture.
Yes, yeah, it just melted.
And you get
mouth.
That part and you're like, oh, this part's going to be chewy.
Yeah,
none of that. Even those parts were not chewy.
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah, and then on top of that, they brought out a dessert brownie on the house, a la mode.
Because we're
birthday.
Celebrating a belated birthday.
Belated birthday for
which
you.
Was August 18th. And if you're listening to this and you want to get me something for my birthday... you missed out. It's too late.
It's never too late for presents.
I don't know. I should do an Amazon wish list like one of those cam girls.
Yeah.
It'll just all dildos.
You're like, I didn't ask for any of these. Yeah, but you're still getting
that would be funny. That's what I should do that, like, if one of my guy friends had an Amazon wish list, I would want to hack it and just put all dildos on it. That would be, it would be funny if I, it would be fun. No, has anyone ever done that? Has anyone ever done like a comedic Amazon wish list where it's just stuff I would never use that's absurd and silly?
I mean, I feel like, why would you do that?
Well, because to see if people would waste money on stuff you would never use.
I'm sure some of them would, and then you'd just be stuck with 10 dildos. What are
would
you
I
do
be
with
stuck
them?
With 10 dildos, or would it be Christmas come early for you?
I retract my statement. Right. You can put up the wish list.
Right. You put up your. You should put up your Amazon wish list with the stuff I want, yeah, and but, that would be silly and absurd.
Yeah, but you know people are going to look at that list and be like, why does Josh Denny want 10 dildos? Oh, he is gay. It
makes
sense.
And then the fellas, okay. The fellas would come out of the
we
woodwork.
We were right. Yeah, all the gay guys would be like, we were right. We knew.
We
he
knew.
Has 10 dicks on his Amazon wish list.
I like how you just pinpointed 10. Like, that's the right number.
No, you said 10 earlier, didn't you?
Did I? I don't know. I don't think so. Well, roll the tape. Back.
I just subconsciously in my head was like 10 is a good number.
But it was a good, it was a great late belated birthday celebration because I was in Atlanta filming Ginormous Foods. I keep saying that now because everyone else says that. Now I'm saying it incorrectly.
Foods
Ginormous
plural.
Food. I was filming Ginormous show. Food in Atlanta during my birthday, and then now I came back and now we're good. Mm. We were able to celebrate it only like 14 days later or something.
Yeah.
People do call it Ginormous Foods. Actually, Food Network Canada calls it Ginormous Foods in their social media.
Yeah.
Like their official page doesn't know the name of the show.
Yeah. Well, people are bad with
names of
no,
things.
No. The plural usage.
Like, yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, it's weird, though, because, like, it's not bizarre food. It's bizarre foods with Andrew Zimmern, which has to confuse people.
Right.
Because mine is Ginormous Food.
Yeah.
His is bizarre
well,
foods.
Well, I'm sure they think Ginormous Foods because you're doing multiple foods. And
right.
I don't know. They subconsciously are like, why would it just be one food?
But
I don't
think foods is correct ever.
Yeah, foods.
I don't think foods is ever grammatically correct.
So bizarre foods isn't a thing.
That's grammatically incorrect.
I would think it should be bizarre food.
Yeah.
If I didn't know any better.
Yeah, it should even because food is the plural of food.
Right.
Foods. I don't think that's ever grammatically correct. Yeah. Not even in the UK where they come up with their own stupid weird English.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, it's what's the one that they always say that bothers me? Advertisement. Really bothers me.
Oh.
it's an advertisement. Is it?
Yeah, there's other words like that I'm always like, you say that weird.
Yeah, it's like there's. I don't like how British people say advertisement. I don't like how rednecks say Italian.
That one
really bothers me.
Italian.
And I don't like black people.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I will say, it's hard. You just shot. Okay, let me rewind a minute before this gets really off the rails. It's hard when there's like stereotypical things about a group of people, and it's hard as a comedian when you see those things happening in public not to laugh hysterically to yourself. It's not racist, but like when you see people do the things that they're accused of doing as like a general stereotype, it's hard not to laugh. Like great example is we turned down the side street to come home tonight. And there's a black dude with his car just kicked like Fast and the Furious drift racing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kicked on a 90-degree angle blocking the street. And he's just cell phone out the window recording the fire in the wrong aspect ratio. Like he's live streaming to World Star. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, would it pull over in a designated parking space and get out and stand?
I always like when those situations happen and you get really excited or amazed or surprised. And my reaction
it's
is
just like, yeah,
my reaction,
what do you expect?
Yeah, my reaction is usually like, yeah, that's about right. Let's move on.
I meet stereotypical racial stuff with childlike excitement and wonder where I'm like, look at the Asian people studying. Look at them. And then you're just like, that's what they do. That's what you're
just
jaded.
I'm just jaded. I'm like, yeah. And what?
Well, you went to the Super Bowl of racial stereotypes this week because you went and filmed an episode of, what do you call it?
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't talk about it.
Oh, you're
that.
Not allowed to say that?
No.
Okay, you filmed a black game show on a... I can just cut it out. I'll just cut it out. Are you not allowed to say...
Listen,
okay, yeah.
I'm trying to get my money.
Look, it's already rubbed off on you.
I'm just saying, I can't talk about it. I signed some clauses. And they
you,
won't pay me.
You signed clauses.
Yeah, and waivers, whatever they're called.
You
contracts.
You signed clauses and waivers.
And contracts.
I hate to tell you, but this game show doesn't exist. If you somebody handed you paper and said, these are clauses and these are waivers, and you just went, take my signature.
Listen, I think you just bought a timeshare. Legally, I can't talk about it.
Okay. Well, you can talk about it after it airs.
Yeah,
so people,
if it or when it is.
Okay,
just,
so people will tune in later. But let's say hypothetically you filmed a TV show at some point that was culturally very shifted in one category. What would that experience be like, hypothetically?
Well, we ran late all day.
Right.
Not a joke. I just...
Yes.
These are... accurate. This was accurately happening.
But and you just were like, God damn it. Can you stop?
Well, I mean, the host was also like, listen, let's move this along. So
yes.
He was even frustrated.
Yeah. And he was also 45 minutes late. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
This is a friend of a friend, obviously, somebody that we know kind of well in the entertainment world. But I'm going to cut all that part out. Yeah.
Laughter, we went to Musso and Frank.
Did you say laughter we went to
I
Musso
said
and
after.
Frank? I think you said laughter.
All right. Well, I'm
I don't
delirious
know what you're doing.
Because I just threw up recently. Yeah.
You're not delirious. You're just disappointed that you wasted money.
Yes.
This is how I'll use the word frugal.
Literally as
not
the puke,
to say Jewish.
As the puke is coming out of my mouth, I'm just like, no.
You're counting. It's like a cash register in your head of
like pennies just falling into
it's
the
It's like
toilet.
Money. You just picture yourself vomiting money because you're like, that was a $33 pasta.
Yes.
That I vomited into that. Fuck.
So mad at myself. I don't know
it's
how people
fun.
Are bulimic.
This is why you should only eat.
Jews aren't bulimic, right?
I don't think it's possible.
Jews can't be bulimic.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It
doesn't
just
make sense.
It violates your principles
it just,
as a
it
people.
It just money and like money wise doesn't make sense, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, after Musso and Frank's, I keep saying Frank's. I want to say Frank's.
Yeah, Musso and Frank's.
Musso and Frank.
Sounds like a hot dog stand. Don't say that.
We went and saw The Big Sick at the Arclight, and there was a Q&A afterwards.
Actually, hold on. We should probably take like a commercial break before we talk about The Big Sick.
Okay, take a commercial break, and when we come back...
You're throwing it to commercial?
The Big Sick.
Okay, welcome to Netta's. Welcome to Netta's March of the Pigs, everybody. You put a couple of mics in the office, and all of a sudden, you're Howard Stern.
I got excited. I was doing it. And... Let's go to commercial break. I'll shut up now. Do you want to do it?
No, we're going to use yours. Okay. You have to just stop talking, though, so I can use the pause and not have to insert silence. Okay, are we back?
And killed it.
Okay. So we went and saw The Big Sick. Now, disclaimer, I went and had a mandate to see The Big Sick with Nick Cobb. When we were on the road in Minnesota together right after it came out. So I had already seen it. You had not seen it. So I thought it would be fun today to take you to go see it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Since it just got re-released widely back across the country.
Because it got that much hype and success.
And press, yeah.
And press, yeah.
Now you think Kumail threw a little shade with that success press the other day.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Potentially. So Kumail posted a picture of Rotten Tomatoes rating scale with a picture of The Big Sick saying 98%. And then right next to that was the Emoji Movie, and it got 8%,
like
I think
it was 3%.
I don't know. It was like a single number.
They
digit.
Said it was the best rated movie of the year, and then it was like next to the worst rated movie of the year, which happened to be the Emoji Movie. Now, I don't know why you would feel compelled to even put what the worst movie of the year was side by side with your best movie of the year ranking. Like, couldn't you just crop it out?
Oh, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you could.
Or did the link just include?
Or maybe the link included it. Yeah,
and he didn't have a choice.
I honestly don't remember, but
it's a better story if he's throwing shade. That's kind of
fun.
Sure.
But
also from one comedian to it, I think it's different when comedians do it because like there's this ball busting prerequisite that we have with each other that I don't think actors have. So like from one comedian to another, like if it was my album and like Jeff May's album and I posted like his is great and mine sucks, whatever, that's us busting each other's balls. But I don't know if other people would see it that way. And I don't know if, you know, Kumail and TJ are that way with busting each other's balls.
Yeah,
I would assume so.
I thought they were cool. I thought they were friends.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, apparently it's doing really well, The Big Sick. And I loved it. It was great. I thought it ended really well. I thought it was, the pace was great.
Mm-hmm.
Acting was great. Good story based on true life events. And yeah, they did a Q&A afterwards. With the director, which you got
you got to specify a little bit. So that was the surprise of this, was that there was also the reason I booked it tonight for us to go see.
Yes.
Was that there was also a cast Q&A, and it was just supposed to be Ray Romano and Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes.
But it ended up being Kumail and Ray, and then Kumail's wife, Emily, who the movie is very heavily based on her life as well as Kumail's. And
the director,
Michael Showalter, which people know from Wet Hot American Summer and The State way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he also has done some other indie films lately too.
Yeah. And I went afterwards, after the Q&A, to Veggie Grill.
Okay, what, you just skipped over the whole movie?
No,
we're not
going
to talk about the movie at all?
No, I'm going to talk about the movie. I was just going to mention that you got a chance to tell
Michael. I was just going to talk about that afterwards.
Sure.
You just could tell my part of the story, too?
All right, well, sorry, I'm telling all the parts of the story.
Yeah.
I'll shut up now.
Do you want me to just go in the other room and let you take over? You're throwing the commercial.
I'm trying to podcast.
You're telling the stories. You're nailing it.
Too much?
You're getting a little
too
comfortable.
Extra.
I'm just going to wake up in the morning. You're going to have three people around the desk. Like, I started my own show. We're live streaming right now to 7,500 people. Wow, that was fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think I can get 7,500 people? I like the confidence.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're certainly leaning into it. First of all, the movie, what did you think of the movie? Because I've been hyping this movie up like crazy. I said it's the best. I think it's the best picture of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something great comes out between that. Like people are saying Dunkirk, which is the Christopher Nolan war movie, which I hate war movies. I don't care how good a war movie. Like, Saving Private Ryan is probably the best war movie of all time, and I still can't watch it because I hate war movies that much. Like, it just doesn't appeal. It's history, which I get, but, like, if I wanted to watch, I'd watch the real thing. I'd watch a documentary. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just don't. For some reason, those movies, I don't even like futuristic war movies where it's, like, Starship Troopers or something like that.
Yeah,
I just don't like soldier movies.
They're a little, like, mundane and like nothing like nothing really.
I look at war movies the way a lot of people look at romantic comedies, where they're like, if you've seen one, you've seen all of them. And I go, yeah, same with war movies. That's how I feel about war movies.
Okay.
I feel like if you've seen one war movie, you've seen every war movie.
Yeah.
It just gets obnoxious after a while.
Yeah. I think I'm starting to realize I feel that way slightly about maybe zombie movies.
They're kind of getting
and shows,
they're kind of getting there too.
Because I feel like I've watched so many, and I'm always just like, it was okay. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, they're people, but
yeah,
their bodies are rotting, and they eat brains, and I don't know. Like, it's just,
yeah. I said no. I know what you mean. It does get kind of, it gets a little old after a while.
Yeah, I feel that way. But no, I thought it was a great movie. And
did you have any favorite parts or favorite characters?
Yeah, my two favorite parts, which were clearly the most relatable parts, which were
And these aren't like spoiler parts. There's a drive-through scene that was one of your favorites.
Yeah, the drive-through scene. Kumail goes to the drive-through.
Don't tell them what it is. Just the drive-through scene is one of your favorite parts.
All right. Well, I got excited. I wanted to talk about how I relate. But anyway, the drive-through scene. I don't want to spoil it. And
And you don't even have to really go into detail to for people to understand. Like, everybody's had that pain in the ass drive-through moment.
Yeah.
And it unfortunately always seems to happen when you're already having the worst goddamn day.
I mean, it's
which is what happened for him. He's having a terrible day and then has this drive-through thing. You have these problems every day.
Every day. No matter where I go to the bank, anywhere food-wise, I feel like Tom Segura in his bit where he goes to the coffee shop and the woman is like, oh, I don't have change at the register.
She's
and
like, we just can't handle it.
Yeah. And
a 20.
Right, a 20. And he's like, I didn't hand you the Hope Diamond. I handed you a 20 and you can't change it at the register. That's my life every day. I feel like I'm constantly like, is anyone else seeing this?
You're constantly asking for things that in no way, shape, or form should they be out of the realm of what you would normally expect from a place.
Yes. So.
But they look at you like, you're asking me to do something I just can't do.
Yeah, it's great. It'll literally
they'll be like, I have a coupon. They're like, fuck!
Yeah, it's true. They're like, they're like, I don't know what this coupon is. I've never seen it. I don't know how to put it in the system. I can't use it. And I'm just like, your company sent me the coupon.
Yeah.
I'm at the place to use the coupon, and you're telling me I can't use the coupon.
Yeah, it's not like you walk into Taco Bell with Burger King coupons and go figure it out.
Right. I mean,
that would be fun.
Yeah, but it could be something as little as, I'm at a restaurant and I'm like, oh, I didn't get sauce with my salad that I asked for. And they're like, we don't have sauce. And I'm like, you don't have any more sauce? They're like, nope, we ran out of sauce. And I'm like, you know what? How about you go check in the back? And they're just like, again,
we don't have a back.
Yeah, they're just like, nope, there's no back and we can't go check. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking for the sauce
right.
that comes with the goddamn salad. And then it's like, I have to go through 2-3 people just to get the sauce. And they come back 5 minutes later like, all right, we did check the back and we do have the sauce. So here you go. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I asked you to do your job. Was that hard?
I don't understand.
Anyway, second part of the movie that was my favorite was, I don't want to.
You can't really give it away.
Okay, cool. Well,
you can't really talk about it.
Yeah, so.
But it was something you could relate to as a girl dating a new guy.
Yeah. I'm sure, when you're first dating someone, you don't want to, fart in front of them. You don't want to, if you have to use the bathroom and go number two,
Well, I mean, you could just say shit at that point.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said number two. Shit. And,
there was a moment where that came up.
There was a moment in the movie she was like, is there a diner nearby? I'm trying to go get coffee. And he was like, it's 3 a.m. You want coffee right now? I can make you coffee. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
I really like diner coffee. And I was like, I feel like, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like that was similar to maybe a Whitney Cummings joke that she has.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was her joke.
It could be.
But point is, it's very relatable. I'm sure females have all been there. Or, you just have to take a shit. And you're like, I don't want to turn this guy off. And I don't want him to know I take shit. So I got to find a liquor store or diner nearby to leave the apartment completely to take a shit.
Now, in our early days of dating, did you ever flee to fart and or shit while we were hanging out in the beginning?
Did I ever flee?
I don't. Not
no,
that
I'm asking
I know
you.
Of.
Did you notice if I ever fled?
No, but I also.
Exactly.
I also
I'm not
never,
afraid of anything.
Oh my god! I never noticed.
I lay it all out there.
I never noticed, but you didn't fart in front of me for a year.
No, I'm pretty good at.
And then, we moved in together, and you were just like.
Well, yeah,
all the time.
If you ask me to move in, I assume that means
it's fart time.
Just you can be yourself and be completely comfortable.
Oh my god! I'm glad I was cool with it because I was like, oh shit. She just switched on.
Listen, have you seen me eat?
Yes.
All right, then you should know that the ratio of me eating to me farting is very appropriate.
People don't know that the first time one of the first times we ever hung out, you ate a whole box of beef ribs.
I did.
I was like, I'm going to order from this place, and I got a small pizza and a salad.
Yeah, you were like, do you want anything? I'm going to order something, and I was
like,
oh, just like a a box of ribs. And you were like, a box of beef ribs. That's
well,
what
I didn't
want?
Know they were like beef ribs. I thought they were like baby backs. So I was like, oh, she's going to order baby back ribs. That's fine. And I was like, why are they $29 or something ridiculous?
I apologize. I probably just, I didn't even look at that. I was just like.
You were just like, I want beef ribs. And then they
bring
you. Well,
because you probably, I think you probably pulled out the menu and you were like, they have ribs. And I was like, I like ribs. Get the ribs. And yeah. I probably just wasn't thinking of price. Because looking back, if you were like, I'm just going to order a personal pizza and salad, I would have probably felt bad if I was like, oh, I'm ordering $30 ribs. Like,
yeah.
I just
but,
didn't.
But as if to say, like, you're about to get, as if your body was looking at me going, you're about to get your money's worth. You ate. That entire, and when I say like entire, imagine the Fred Flintstone scene when he's at the movie theater and they put the dinosaur ribs on his like little fucking to-go thing on his window.
Yes.
Like it was like that and you ate all of them.
I did. I destroyed it.
And I was just like, oh my
And you were
God.
Like, oh, are you done? And I don't know if you knew I ate all the ribs, but I think you like looked in the box and you were like, oh, no, she fucking ate all the ribs.
She you destroyed them.
Yeah, you were like, I don't even know how you did that. And I was like, yeah, I know, I'm fucking impressive.
Little did I know that $30 was the first of probably $600,000 of food I've bought in the last 5 years.
Yeah, when guys first like meet me and start hanging out with me, I think they're usually like, oh, she doesn't drink. Like, she's a cheap date. And then I started eating, and they're like, fuck, she makes up for it in the food.
Yeah, somebody hands you a menu, and they have to refinance their home now.
Yeah, but you said that the first time we went to a restaurant, the galley, right? The galley?
Is it the galley or the gallery? It's the galley.
The first time we went and ate, and you were like, oh, this place, like, does big portions. There's, like, two or three sides. With the steak and like lobster, surf and turf or whatever. So you're not going to like eat it all. Just heads up. It's a lot of food.
And
I was
like, we'll see.
I was like, oh, you'll see, motherfucker. Like, you'll see.
I mean, you didn't say that.
No,
to me,
I didn't say that. I was just like, I think I'll be okay. And you were like, I'm just telling you, like, nobody really ever like eats it all. And I was like, okay. And then, so I didn't know him that well because we were just friends at that point. And then
it's the first time we ever hung. Well, you had come to a show.
I had come to a show, but we hadn't.
You had a show, but we hadn't done anything.
No, we hadn't hung out or anything. Just the two of us. So this is like the first time we're just hanging out, and I didn't know him that well. So you were trying to, you know, lose weight, be healthy, and
I had lost weight,
oh,
and I was healthy. I was 217
so
pounds when I met you.
Okay, I apologize.
That was 60 pounds ago.
Right.
You fucking bitch.
I sense some tension in your tone.
Listen, we've between the two of us, we've gained 100.
You speak for yourself.
We've gained 100 pounds while we've been together.
Anyway, so
20 pounds a year. We'll be 500 pounds.
Okay.
Next year.
I think I'm done with this
we
podcast.
Keep going. We're going to get our shit together.
I'm going to go throw up again.
Yeah.
Excuse
and
me.
And you just
commercial
now figured
break.
Out.
We'll take it to break.
You just figured out bulimia after 5 years. You know it's been around for centuries, right?
It's hard. I don't want to throw up my food.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the waitress came around and she was like.
You love telling this story. I hate this story by now, but go ahead.
Oh, but it's so funny to me.
I don't think it's funny, but go ahead.
It's one of the moments that sticks out. Like, you know, when you watch movies and they're just like, they think they're just about to die and all the moments in their head, like flash by.
This
like,
will be the first one.
this is like one of the first memories I have of you. And it just stuck with me because it was just so funny because I didn't know you that well, but you kind of had a, I don't want to say like negative vibe, but you kind of had like a chip on your shoulder, like, and you've definitely, I mean, I don't know if other people noticed, but you've definitely like softened up a little bit around the edges. But at that time, probably because, I mean, I get it. You're probably trying to lose weight and you're probably just hungry. But like the server, the server came over.
You were like, you were irritable. You were dieting and you were the lightest you had ever been. And
yeah.
you hated people.
I get it. So I get it. No judgment. But the server came around and she was like, okay, so you get like two or three sides. What do you want for your sides? And you were like, I'm just going to have green beans or salad. And then she was like, well, what do you want for the third one? And you were like, I don't want the third one. And she was like, but you get a third one.
No, it was two sides. And I only wanted one side.
Okay. So
I was like, I just want potatoes.
Yeah. You were like, I just want a baked potato. And she was like, and your other side? And you were like, that's it.
Just one side.
Yeah, just one side. And she, I mean, she said what I was thinking, because I was like, but you get another side. It's free. It comes with it. Just take it. Like, it's extra food. And you were like, no, I'm good with just the one. And she was like, but, and you were like, I said I'm good with just the one. And she was like, oh, okay. Like, you could visibly see on her face, she was like, oh, I didn't mean to, like, upset you. I just... You get another side. And in my head, I didn't know him that well, but I wanted to be like, I'll take the side. I'll take the other side. But I didn't want to jump in and just impose and look crazy, weird, or greedy. Like, give me your side. We just weren't there yet. But it was a funny moment.
But that's the most memorable thing you have of
me. No, I'm saying that's like one of the very early memories that like stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
Like it was just such a vivid, like I can remember like the visual of you looking over your shoulder, like kind of telling her like, hey, I said I just want the one, now leave. Like I just remember how it went. And I can like the face she made was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, don't get mad. I was just trying to offer you the other free side that comes with it. And then just like left. And it was just funny to me.
She was like, do you want double potatoes? And I was like,
oh, yeah.
No,
I forgot about that part.
The single amount of potatoes.
I forgot about that
part. I probably should be more of a dick like that these days. That's probably why I'm gaining weight again, is because I'm going, I'll take both sides.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I got your voice in my head going like, well, you're already paying for the second side. Just get the second side.
Hey, then fucking give me the second side. Well, you don't have to eat it.
But you could have said that on day one, but you were trying to like behave yourself.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to look like, I felt like that would make me look like an asshole if you don't know me that well. And I just intervened. I was like, I'll take your side off your plate. Yeah, I didn't want to be like, I'll take it. Like,
but you also ordered steaks well done at that time.
I didn't know.
Which
no one
completely
no
discredited
one
you as
me.
A food person.
Yeah, but no one. But listen, I've never dated anyone who's loved food as much as me. Like, I really haven't. And I've just never known anybody, I guess, that's just a big foodie.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just, no one's ever paused and been like, Nutta, you're doing it wrong.
Well, you won the Super Bowl on this one, kid.
I did.
In terms of fat food loving boyfriends, I don't know if you could do better. Graham Elliott lost all the weight.
What food?
Yeah,
boyfriends.
Like, yeah, name me another food guy that's fatter and better and likes food as much.
I mean, he doesn't physically have to be fat. He just has to love food.
I mean, let's agree to disagree on that.
Okay. I mean, if you can,
would you trust a fat
food?
Doctor?
No, but like,
right. So why would you trust a skinny foodie?
No, but like, there's chefs like
I didn't say
Bobby Filet.
I didn't say chef. I said
that aren't fat
foodie.
Like Giada's skinny and shit.
Yeah, do you trust Giada to be like, this shit tastes good?
I don't.
Right.
But why is she on Food Network and she has her own restaurant?
I don't know. Everybody gets something. I don't know.
Everybody gets something?
I don't know. I'm sure she's a great chef.
Yeah, but she's skinny.
Yeah,
but part of me is like, yeah, I don't trust it. How are you making all the pasta and carbs and you're so skinny?
I don't trust it either.
It's
weird. I don't like it.
That's strange.
Yeah. It's like these people it's like they taste all their food, but they don't actually eat it. That bothers me.
Interesting.
That bothers me. That would be like would be like a guy who could throw a football 80 yards and then be like, I don't even play.
Right.
I never really played. Mm-hmm. You're just like, cool, keep waiting. Mm-hmm. It's like a guy with a 13-inch dick who's like, I don't fuck. I just don't.
I'm good.
I just don't. I don't. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, then you want to donate that thing?
Yeah, like what if Lexington Steel was just like, I don't enjoy it.
But I
have to do it to make money because it's like it's the easiest job
that I can get.
I
don't use it anymore. He's just like, it's like one of those assassin movies where the guy like hasn't killed people for
like
20 years.
My dick.
And then he's like got to like move a shelf and then like move a rug. And then underneath his floorboards, there's like a safe. And then in that is his dick.
Yeah. Like in
John Wick.
Yes. Yeah. Jinx.
Oh God. We should pitch that movie to Lexington Steel.
Yes.
John Dick. The name is right
John
there.
Dick.
And he's just
John
like
Wick.
He's like, I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then like, but he's got to take it out. And then he goes to the place and they've given him gold coins and he just be dropping that D on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just a hotel, but he goes in there and he fucks everyone. Men, women,
men.
dog. Yeah, it's a revenge flick. He does it to spite people. It's not about pleasure. It's about inflicting punishment.
All right, you're giving this a lot of thought.
I mean, it's just how...
You sound really into it.
Listen, nothing looks pleasurable about that thing to me. That thing looks like a weapon of mass destruction. And I'm sure he's probably been in a movie called Weapon... He's probably been in a movie called Weapon of Ass Destruction.
Probably.
So I can't be far off.
Yeah.
You don't think... Listen, I bet you could take that out and take a gun out and people's reactions would be exactly the same. Like, if you pointed that thing at a woman, she'd be like, and it'd be the same as if you pointed a gun at a woman.
Yeah.
The difference is, it was like, give me all your money. She'd be like, or what? What are you going to do? Make my day?
Yeah.
Versus the gun, she would probably just be like, how much of my money do you,
Yeah.
I invented a podcast. If I don't know if anybody was listening to this, we should probably take another break before we derail this thing. Throw it. Go ahead.
Let's send it off. We'll be right back.
Are you happy?
And we're back. Okay.
You were just waiting to pounce on my words. So, I accidentally invented a fake podcast. If anybody had listens to Death Squad Chronicles, I was on it like a month ago or whatever with Dan Madonia and Red Band and George Perez and Kate Quigley and a bunch of other Sam Tripoli. But there was a period of time on that podcast where Brian was out of the room, and Brian like engineers and like runs the podcast while people are doing it. Mm-hmm. So he was out of the room to do his set, and so nobody could engineer the podcast, so we were just kind of stuck with it running and recording, and I don't even know if he kept any of it or if he cut it all out, but we invented a podcast called Naming Names, where we would just tell all these shit talking stories about people in Hollywood, and we would claim to actually name the names. But then inside the podcast, we would never actually name the names. We would use names like Ronald Slumberland.
Okay. And I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in all those Starvation Olympics movies. Mm-hmm. But when you said that a minute ago, it made me feel like we were getting into the naming names territory podcast of like we're talking about people that people don't know and inside Hollywood story. And we're not
inside.
We're
right,
not. Yeah.
Fine, sorry.
It's not. We're not inside. I mean, people.
I don't know. It's hard not to think of just like jokes that I've seen, because I've seen so many. Obviously, I go to a lot of stand up shows, so I'm going to see so many comedians. So I'm constantly just referencing jokes and people's jokes, and I forget. Most people probably don't remember or know who they are.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway.
So, in conclusion, The Big Sick, like, I mean, what were your thoughts on it? Did it live up to the hype?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what other movies have come out this year that it could be, that could be better? Because you said it was the best movie you've seen all year, so I think it's
as of right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to text Michael Showalter this, because he probably just thought,
"Did you
say
text?
Some weird dude." I mean, tweet.
I was like, that's cool. You guys are tight.
Yeah. No.
I was in Veggie Girl for 10 minutes.
No. And it's weird, too, because sometimes I forget, like, when you're away from me, that people don't know that I'm not alone somewhere.
Right.
So, like, I'm just standing by a Veggie Grill with a phone in my hand. Talking.
I was in Veggie Grill to go get some food to go, and he was standing outside, and he just...
He walks by, presumably to get an Uber.
Michael Showalter.
The director of The Big Sick. Because at the Q&A, he was there as well.
Right.
And he's like a very humble guy, in the sense of, like, he's not braggadocious about his accomplishments. He's very, very humble. And he, even in the Q&A, when people are like, you know, this movie's getting a lot of like really good press and everything else, how do you feel about that? He's like, you know, we'll see. It's all kind of a we'll see. So he came out and I said, great picture, man. And he goes, oh, cool. Thanks. And I was like, good luck with the Academy this year. And he goes, get out of here with that. And I was like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's the best movie I've seen all year.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, thank you. Thanks, man. And just kind of like walked off and like brushed it off. And you were, when you came out and I told you, you were like, oh, he probably just thinks you saw him in there and was blowing smoke. And I go, no, like I genuinely think it's the best movie I've seen all year.
Or he probably thought like, yeah, the Academy is not going to like
But it could, like we talked about this with all of the immigrant band stuff that's going on, and the fact that it's a comedy and it kind of touches on a racial cultural misunderstanding thing that's really popular right now. I mean, I think maybe. It could resonate in a way that the Academy would. Because we talked about Moonlight last year. You predicted that upset because you said with the black issue with the Oscars the year before, they were already looking for black movies to award.
Yes.
To sort of make up for the year before.
And it won.
And then Moonlight, not only that, and I haven't seen Moonlight yet, but spoiler alert, it has to do with the difficulties of being gay in the black community, and particularly in the impoverished black community, mm-hmm. and the cultural and stigmas like, of all that. And you're like, this is going to win because it fits the narrative of what they want to award. Yeah. Like, there's the Oscars have gotten to the point now that there will never not be an Oscars that doesn't fit a political agenda. Like, they're preaching an idealism to viewers with what they're awarding in film. Like the Revenant year was probably the last year for a while that you will not see there be pictures that are somewhat culturally relevant. It's the same way documentary awards have been given out for the last 5 years. The mm-hmm. documentary about whatever the hot thing is that year is the one that's going to win.
Yeah.
So I think it's, And I don't say this, by the way, to diminish the Big Sick. I say this that because usually comedies never get nominated, and even if they get nominated, they never have a chance. I'm saying that this is actually a feather in their cap that might put them over the line to get a win and not just a nomination. And despite the fact that just as a film, it's already deserving. There has not been a better movie than that all year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I...
It was the right mix of comedy, drama.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting was perfect.
Yeah, it was great.
It wasn't overboard. Like, you know, some of those movies that you feel like people act above their skill set. Kumail didn't do that. Ray Romano didn't do that. Like, everybody stayed in their lane.
Holly Hunter was in it. She was great.
She was amazing. I could definitely see, I don't know if Kumail will get nominated as an actor, but I could definitely see Ray Romano and Holly Hunter getting nominated. The girl who plays his wife hardly performs in the movie because, shocker, she's in a coma for a lot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he could get best original screenplay for sure. Mm-hmm. I think best Showalter could win best director, and I think it could win best picture.
Yeah, I looking back on it, I think what I did like about the movie is that they did a really good job of capturing how genuinely relatable like you feel in certain situations, like the drive-through scene. Like, he was just very frustrated, and I was like, yes, like, it's relatable, we've all been there. And then, you know, him walking into the hospital in the ER, and he, you know, he's trying to get someone's attention because he needs help figuring out where to go, and no one's paying attention to you because it's just chaos, and mm-hmm. it's like everyone's doing their own thing. It's like, how many times have we been in situations like that? It's just so relatable, where you're just like, you're frustrated, and I think they did a good job of like capturing those moments.
And it wasn't over dramatized either.
Right. It
It was just sort of this very realistic realness of impending doom.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, and the thing that I love the most about the movie was they continuously are optimistic and then shit continues not to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how much of that was based in truth or how much of that was Judd Apatow and the other producers shaping the changes that they made to the real life story to make it a good film. But I will say this, you know, they said it's about 60% true, which means 40% of the movie was shifted and shaped by producing guidance. And it was, and you hear about people saying the development kills great ideas. This is a situation where I feel like everything they changed in development made it a better movie and a better story.
Yeah, I was going to.
Than just what the truth was.
Yeah, I was going to ask or potentially ask them. I always wondered, you know, who makes the call and how does that discussion go on, you know, should we do this as a screener for, you know, audiences first before we put out in theaters to get some feedback?
Yeah, that would have been an interesting question.
Yeah, did they talk about that?
Because they screened it at Sundance, but we don't know if they showed it to anybody before that and changed anything.
Right.
Or if they had different versions of it this final version.
Yeah, so obviously living in L.A., they do screeners for films that haven't come out yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get audience feedback and you do surveys and do a little bit of sometimes just questions and answers at the end with like a mediator. Is that what it's called?
Moderator.
Sorry. And I was curious to know, like, did they discuss that? Did they want to do that? Did they?
Yeah. How long was it in development is the question. And how much of the development was in pre-production? How much of the development was in post-production? Yeah. So a lot
and
of
like
the...
how much feedback did you want to get? Or like, did you have the discussion of, no, we don't want to get too much feedback because we feel good about it?
Some movies, you get the distinct impression that it's almost like the studio wants them to do the screening. Mm-hmm. But like when we went and saw Long Island Summer, like they weren't changing that movie. Mm-hmm. That movie didn't change from what we saw to the point it came out. And there's a lot of other movies that I got that impression too. Like we went and saw The Night Before. Night Before, like a week before it came out.
Well,
and sometimes you saw Grimsby after it premiered, right?
I saw Grimsby and it was like coming out the next day.
Yeah.
We also saw Big Eyes and that was coming out like in a couple weeks or a month.
Yeah. So there's some that you literally watch in a screening and they're not going to change anything.
So
they don't
So I wonder, what is the point of that?
Yeah.
What is the point of that if they're not going to change anything?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think those are promotional screenings. Like maybe what happens is the studio pays for all these screenings in advance. And if they don't use them all, they're just like, well, get some people in to see the movie. At least they'll talk about it.
They'll tell people about it. Probably.
You know, it's better than not. You know, even if 50% of the audience hates the movie and 50% likes it, that's still 200 people or whatever that are going to go tell people to watch it.
But yeah, so like if hypothetically we were going to write a movie, like would you want audiences to give feedback? Would you not?
I guess it depends on how attached I was to the story. Yeah. And what I liked about what Kumail shared was he said it took him 5 years to write the story.
Yeah.
And I almost think that it's good that he waited because I think enough time had passed after
he could remove himself
and view it as a piece of film and a piece of art versus their real life experience. And you know, it sounded like they did a lot of work in pre-production to make sure that everybody involved, like both their families, were okay with the changes and the alterations to the narrative to make it a better movie.
I'm not asking my family if I make a movie about them.
Well, you kind of have to.
Why? Oh, legal reasons?
Yeah, you got to get them to... So that's the whole arrest of development. You have to...
it's true.
What the thing is. You have to get their rights you have to get them to sign a release, basically.
All
right. If it's based on them at all.
What if I change your names?
I don't know how that works. I'm not an entertainment attorney. I have one.
I can
refer you. But yeah, I really, really liked. I liked that they shared that, you know, it wasn't entirely based in fact, and some of the timeline shifts and but ultimately the changes they made, everybody at least intended to make those changes to make it a better film and not just arbitrarily like, I think you should be black. And so, you know what I mean? Like you hear about arbitrary things all the time that they change. And it's like, who gave that note? But it felt like every single one of the notes they gave made it a better movie.
Yeah.
And you look back and I watched this movie and walked away and I was like, man, I don't think we give Judd Apatow enough credit for the way he guides a lot of these young creator filmmakers in their early work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, who knows what Girls would have been like without Judd? Mm-hmm. It might have been unwatchable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you're winking at me right now, like, isn't it still unwatchable? But even though
I watched it all.
I was going to say, even though we hate watched it, we still had to finish it. There are other shows that we watch that we go, I hate this, and we don't keep watching all of it.
Well, I think I watched it for the unpredictability of, like, the crazy just shit that was happening, and I was just like, this is crazy.
Well, you also want to see, like, where does it go? It is an interesting thing because I felt like Girls was the first time anyone had a show with four characters that are all equally unlikable. And you're sitting there watching it going like, okay, when are they going to redeem themselves?
Yeah.
And my feeling was that they never did. That they stayed unlikable till the very, very end.
Yeah, it was very like real and raw in showing you like...
Like these are pretentious like, white
girls.
Like
basically white, like first world white problems sometimes, you know, like it's just stuff that they were just...
And politically, I feel like I hate Lena Dunham. But I would be very interested to sit down and say, like, hey, you know that everyone hates all of those characters, right? Was that on purpose? Because I feel like if she's like, yeah, it was,
well,
then it would maybe give me a different perspective on her as a person. But
no, I don't
but
know.
I don't know that she would be that way because she seems oblivious to the things that she does
her. No, I don't know if people do hate it because I think she and a lot of people think it's very relatable. Like there are people out there like this and people we know someone like this or we have friends like this. And I think a lot of people thought it was relatable.
Yeah, maybe. And I don't know though.
Like, oh yeah, we've all been in situations like this, right? I mean, a lot of those situations I was like, I can't relate. I mean, there's some that I was like, yeah, I relate to that. But a lot of them I was like, wow, does this happen? Like,
yeah,
this happens. Cause after each episode, she and Judd and I forget her name.
Oh man, I'm drawing a blank too.
She was like the other primary creator. Yeah. But they would all sit and talk about the episode and talk about how, you know, she always wanted to do things that were relatable to people and issues like women are facing and a lot of that stuff. I was like, I don't relate to it at all, but it's interesting to see her take on it.
But part of the reason that we can't relate to it at all is because if you and I meet someone that's like Marnie, for instance, and I can't say that name without thinking of Billy Eichner on Billy on the Street being like, what's the worst name in the world? It's Marnie, isn't it? And I was just like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is totally that. But yeah, I the problem with that is like anytime we've met a person like that, we're like, we have to delete that person from our, like, we can't be around people like that.
Well, I think a common,
think so many people just have that as person as a friend.
Yeah,
or and they never get rid of them.
Or it's them. They're watching them. They're like, that's me. But that's what I think the common thread with that show is
everybody knows one of those girls.
Well, not just that, but they're all like, they're all just going through something and they're all dealing with something and they're trying to just figure out life and like, in the process of figuring it all out, like just shit keeps happening that keeps knocking them down.
Jennifer Connor.
Yeah.
Or is it Connor? K-O-N-N-E-R. Jennifer Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Connor. Mm-hmm. Connor. Connor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jen.
But yeah, Judd Apatow. Yes, great in... You know,
and you look at like Knocked Up was a tearjerker, was a gut wrenching movie. I liked Funny People, a lot of people didn't. I thought it was a little bit long, but I also thought this was maybe a little bit long. However,
The Big Sick.
Well, the first time I saw it, I think it was longer, and so I think this new cut is actually a shorter cut.
Well, because
it was exactly 2 hours, and it's perfect. It moved perfectly. But I do feel like the first one I watched, and it could have just been because I had to shit the whole movie the first time I saw it. So
okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was great. I can't think of. I'm trying to think of other films that I thought.
But if you watched
it
as a screener, would you have had any recommendations of what to change?
No.
I felt invested in the characters.
No, I think it was perfect.
I felt like their on-screen chemistry was perfect.
Overall, great.
I thought there was nothing that was like a head scratcher. We're just like, why did he do this or why did she do that?
No.
It all made sense.
All made sense.
It was a great story. Yep. And it was emotionally moving. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was real. I thought there were moments in that where it had the opportunity to be cheesy and on the nose the way that movies like that are.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Walk to Remember, like where there's these movies where somebody gets, one of the main character gets sick and, you know, they're just like, I can't live without, it's like shit like that.
You said a Walk to Remember and all I remember that stands out from that movie for me was... When she said something along, Mandy Moore said something along the lines of like, no, I can't date you. I can't be with you. And he was like,
why not?
He was like, why not? And she was like, because you're going to fall in love with me and I'm going to die. And I was like, first of all, cocky much? Like,
yeah. Also, Mandy Moore did not have the acting chops to pull off that role. So
I don't remember hating it.
No, but I remember hating it. Now, granted, I was like 19 at the time.
I liked the movie.
I was 19 at the time, and I watched it with a friend of mine and his girlfriend who was like sappy for all of those movies.
Oh.
So I do remember extra shitting on it because she hated that we were shitting on it.
I liked it.
But I all those movies, like what's the other one?
If
I Stay with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, I don't think I
that was another one like that where somebody, she or the boy was terminal. I didn't see it either, but it's the same kind of movie.
Gotcha.
But those movies just, they get boring. And this was every time you felt like they were going to do the cheesy movie thing, they didn't, and they pulled it back, and it was real, and it was unresolved, and it just left you with this feeling of like, shit, this might not go the way that movies go.
Yeah. I mean, I always like when romantic comedies, I mean, not necessarily don't end on a happy note or do, but somewhere
when
in
they
the
go
process
left instead of right.
What was that movie with
The Breakup?
Andy Samberg.
Oh, no.
No, and it was, no, was it Rashida Jones? Was it Andy Samberg? Who was Rashida Jones in a romantic comedy with, and it didn't kind of work out, and then they...
I don't know.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
Andy Samberg.
It's
I don't
bugging
know the movie.
Me. I gotta look it up.
Okay.
But,
No pressure. This is live. We're live right now.
Yeah, no, keep talking. You know I can't multitask, though.
I am fully aware of your inability to multitask.
No, but, like, what other movies have come out this year that you're, like... That's also really good.
No, nothing. Everything I've watched this year that I liked was from last year's Academy Award films.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it is tough with the Academy because you never know which way they're going to
lean. Oh, Celeste and Jesse Forever.
Oh, okay.
Who was in that?
Oh, I saw that. I remember that movie.
Was that? That was Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
I was saying it like you were like, I don't know.
But that was old. Isn't that like 5 or 6 years old?
Oh, I don't. Let me check. But
it's like 2011 or something.
No, but I remember watching that, and I was like, it didn't go.
Yeah, the way you
the
expected
way it planned,
it.
And it ended like kind of how I wanted it to, not on a great note. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but anyway, it was good, and I remember thinking like, I wish more movies were kind of like this.
Realistic.
I feel like that's how I felt about was it Emily Blunt?
Yes, the five-year engagement.
That was
good too. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you on that. I do think
that was 2012.
I think that some movies. I think sometimes the happy ending is accepting that the happy ending is not always getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of movies like that. That is almost becoming a subgenre of romantic comedies either. But yeah, there is this sort of new surge of like, you know, you're not going to get what you want out of this, but it's still going to. I think that's why I like Vanilla Sky. I think that movie was way ahead of its time, but in 2003, it was sort of like making peace with reality, and that was based on a movie called Abre los Ojos, which was a Spanish film, and I think that came out in like the mid-90s or late 90s with
Abre los Ojos?
Yeah, Open Your Eyes.
Oh, Open Your Eyes.
But I like that movie because it was sort of like it was being happy, accepting things imperfectly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I loved about that movie. And also that sometimes things aren't as bad as your subconscious paints them to be. Like sometimes your perspective can just be overwhelmingly negative if you allow it to be that way. And none of that might even be real. So, you know, the thing I love about the movie Vanilla Sky, which I tell people is that and Fight Club are my two favorite movies of all time. I like Vanilla Sky because it really highlighted to me how much our self-conscious can create a world of misery for us if we let it.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a situation where he had the opportunity in Vanilla Sky to create the perfect dream world. And in that world, he killed the person that he loved. You know, he was on the run from the law. He was on death row. His face was so like... his brain took this perfect world and completely ruined it because of the negativity and the fear in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a super cool takeaway for that movie for me to like never let your negative feelings, your fear, your self-consciousness, your doubt shape your world.
What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, but without a doubt. I also liked Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow was the shit.
That was good.
Another movie we saw a screening of, and that tanked. And I don't
think they should have changed the name.
Yeah.
What did they change it to?
They kept it at Edge of Tomorrow, but none of the actual promotional material said Edge of Tomorrow. It said like Live, Die, Repeat, and it didn't actually have the title of the movie on it.
Mm, yeah. That was a good
so,
movie.
And in Japan, like overseas, they called it Live, Die, Repeat. That was actually the overseas title of it.
Mm.
But yeah, I love that movie. And I actually thought that movie was going to be, we watched that screening about a year before that movie came out. And I was like, this is going to be the movie that makes Emily Blunt a blockbuster superstar actress. And it didn't. No. And it should have, because she was great. Fucking great yeah. in
and
it.
And it had a female like lead.
Like a badass. That movie was 2 years ahead of its time. If that movie came out now, it would be, everybody would be raging about it.
Yeah, it was good.
But they also cut it down. Like
they
the
should have, though. It was long. The
yes,
one I saw.
But the problem is, there was a lot of comedy in the dying and waking up a lot.
No,
and then
much.
There was also a lot of character development for Emily Blunt in the constant dying and waking
I
back
know,
up.
I know, but it was a lot.
I know, but
it was a lot.
I mean, but it was a big part of what made the screening a better movie than I think what was released.
It was a good movie.
Well, this has been a fun movie cast. We talked about food for a little bit. It's nice to see you haven't had to throw up since we started. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I think this was a good distraction.
That's good. Do you have anything you want to plug? I'm just kidding. You don't have a life outside of this apartment. I'm kidding. You're like, well,
he just keeps me in here in a cage.
Yes, I have a cage. No. I'm glad you did this.
I do have stuff I want to plug, but unfortunately I can't talk about it because like I don't know if it's gonna air or not air.
Well, if you get an air date, you can plug it and then we'll bring you back on the show. But believe it or not, people have asked, like, we want Ned on the show more. You did a couple of the live.
Shut up. You've been keeping this from me.
No. When we did Bike Companion, people were like, it's nice to have her on and have perspective and understand. Like, I don't know how many of these we can do before people say we're ripping off Tom and Christina.
Oh.
You know, the old couple cast. And also, we're just not that exciting.
We should do a swap one.
With them?
But like, I go with Tom and then Christina comes with you.
Oh, that's shitty. Can I go with Tom and you go with Christina?
Nope.
Yeah, that doesn't work out for me. You mean like a sex swap or like just a podcast?
What did you mean?
Swap.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. You guys heard it first. Make Netta's dreams come true. She wants to do a wife swap with Tom and Christina. I don't know how that pans out for either of us. I don't.
No, I just want to go eat with them.
Okay. I'm sure we can.
And most,
maybe we'll try to make
just
that
just like most comedian, most of my favorite comedians, I just want to hang out and just eat with them. Tom okay. Segura, Jim Gaffigan, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure they're. I'm sure they're rivetingly tuned in right now. To
I know
what's
they're
happening.
They'll never hear this, but
so I'm gonna.
I just want to hang out with them.
Yeah, well,
and eat.
So that's what you want to plug. If anyone out there listening can make that happen, I like that. I'm a comedian and I have the same representation as a lot of these people, and I still can't make that happen. For you.
Well, what are you good for? I'm just kidding.
The beef ribs. That's what I bring the beef ribs to the table, and that's about it. So.
Listen, fat comedians who like to eat. That's my
get at
that's
me.
That's my jam.
That's what you just
get
said.
Get at me.
Get at me. Oh, wow. This is the floodgates have opened. Well, people can find you on Twitter, right? At Netta Gaby. You're at Netta Gaby on Instagram.
Yeah, all of it. And I'll spell it out because nobody's going to figure it out.
Okay.
So, first name, Neda. AKA also stands for the National Eating Disorders Association, which tonight we figured out I have because I threw up.
Yeah. NEDA.
Last name GHEYBI.
Okay.
Gaby.
All one word, at Netta Gaby on Twitter, Instagram. If people follow you now, they can see the fire before it spreads. We should probably get off of this and find out how quickly we have to evacuate.
We just look out our window. They're just like, we've been calling you for flames. 30 minutes.
We have a great view from our apartment of the fire. I don't know if that's what you're supposed to say.
Great view.
I know they're supposed to say we have a great view of the destruction and the chaos.
I know.
But
that's what happens when you live like near any hills.
But like pick your poison, right? Like Houston's underwater. There's another hurricane about to hit the southeast.
Tornado, fires.
Tornadoes in the
want?
Midwest. Earthquakes. I was like, of all the earthquake talk we've had living in L.A., wouldn't it be ridiculous if our whole neighborhood fell to a fire?
Right.
So, I don't know, man. And then the weird thing is it rained today, and that wasn't enough to,
no, yesterday.
To knock the... No, it rained today, too, apparently.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and it wasn't enough to put the fire out.
Wow.
So... I don't know, man. It's getting to be like end of days type of weather stuff now.